Today's passage is taken from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 59. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews, they began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum.
Well, hello again, everyone. I got a question for you. Does anyone recognize this guy? Yes, we got one yes. Mark, who is this? It's Tim Shaw. And what is Tim Shaw famous for? Demtel advertising. This is the Demtel guy. He used to be on TV selling knives and CDs and pillows that were supposed to help your back be in alignment. Now, I know some of you are too young to know this, but some of us who are a little bit of finer age, do you remember the line that Tim Shaw used to always say? Close, but wait, there's more. Yes, yes, but wait, there's more. It was a way of saying, you know, this is a good deal, but wait, I'm going to make it even better for you. And it always ended with him giving you a free set of steak knives if you called the number within the next 15 or 30 minutes. Actually, apparently, he sold over 1 million set of steak knives in about 3 years from this scheme. So, but wait, there's more. Today in our passage, Jesus is a little bit like Tim Shaw from Demtel. Not that he's a shonky business salesman just trying to rip out more of your money from your wallet. Not that he sells you a set of steak knives. But in the bit that Jenny just read, actually just before that, Jesus had done something spectacular. There was at least 5,000 people that had come to see him, but with only a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, he fed them all. More on that in a moment. But then in our passage today, the bit that Jenny just read out, Jesus says he's offering something better. That is, this is his but wait, there's more moment. You had the fish yesterday, you filled your bellies with the bread, but wait, there's more. You see, here at church, we're starting a new series. I mentioned this before, we're calling it Meet Jesus. We're going through a part of the Bible called John. John was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers in his time on earth. And John kind of wrote a biography of what Jesus did and said. And in this biography, a number of times, John tells us that Jesus would say, "I am," and then Jesus would go on to fill out the rest of the sentence. He'd go on to tell us who he was. And so for us, we're going to listen in and meet Jesus. We're going to hear what he says about himself. Perhaps we're going to meet him afresh. Perhaps we're going to meet him for the first time ourselves. But here's the thing we're going to hear Jesus say today. Jesus is going to say, "I am the bread of life." But what does that even mean for us? Let me start by giving you a little bit of background to our passage. So again, the day before this bit that Jenny read out, Jesus had done something spectacular. There's a huge crowd that's come to see him and listen to him, but they're a long way from everywhere and they need food. So Jesus takes one little boy's packed lunch, just some bread and fish, and more than 5,000 people are fed with this, right? Spectacular, a miracle. And people loved this, and they kind of loved Jesus for it. Anyhow, that nighttime comes, Jesus goes up a mountain to pray, and the disciples, they get into a boat and start to sail to the other side of this little body of water called the Sea of Galilee. But then Jesus does another spectacular thing. He actually walks down the mountain. He walks across the water to the boat where the disciples are in. Again, which is amazing, right? But here we've got two miracles, a food miracle and a water miracle, which actually is very important for the Jews back then. Because there was a time in Jewish history when God did a water miracle and a food miracle. This was at the time of the Exodus. See, back, you know, about 2,000 or so years before Jesus, the Jews had been enslaved in Egypt, but God rescued them. He brought them out of Egypt and he took them through the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground through the sea. It's a water miracle. But then for a couple of reasons, Israel spent 40 years wandering as a nation of nomads in the desert, which is not a great place to find food. But God provided manna for them, bread from heaven for them to eat. A food miracle. Is it a water miracle? Then a food miracle at the time of the Exodus. In Jesus' time, he comes and he does a water miracle and a food miracle. Only the disciples saw him do the water miracle, the walking on water. But as we read this, as John tells us what happened, it reminds us of the time of the Exodus, which is going to be very important for what happens next. So, one day, those two big things happen. The next day, well, the crowd wakes up. They've camped out overnight, and they don't know where Jesus has gone. They didn't see him walk across the water. And so they go looking for him. And in verse 25, they find him. Have a look at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they, that is the crowd asked Jesus, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, initially, it seems like the crowd is looking for Jesus. But fairly quickly, actually, Jesus points out, they're not looking for him. They're really looking for food. They just want another free feed. Verse 26, Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." You guys just want another free feed, don't you? And let's be honest, who doesn't like a free feed? Just ask my kids, right? Every time they walk in a Woolworths, it's always, "Oh, can I have a banana? Can I have a banana? Can I have a banana?" Because they got the freebies as you walk in the door. Or when we used to go to Costco, right? They'd always be on the lookout. Where are the people who are kind of cooking the little free samples? "Mum, can we have one, please?" Who doesn't love a free feed, right? And that's what this crowd is after. They got one yesterday. Now they're back for more. But notice what Jesus says to the crowd. This is Jesus' "but wait, there's more" moment. This is him being Tim Shaw. Jesus says, "You know, you filled your bellies yesterday, but you missed something. You missed the sign. The food was actually pointing you towards something bigger and better." And so Jesus explains this in verse 27. Look what he says. He says to the crowd, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Notice that Jesus starts to talk about working here, working for things, because that's how you get food, right? You work, you get paid, and you can buy food to put on the table. But Jesus says, don't work just for that food, which you need to keep buying again and again. He says, work for the food that endures to eternal life. That's the thing they missed. That's the sign they missed. They got a free feed yesterday, but it was supposed to point them to something bigger. It's supposed to point them to food that just doesn't fill them up for a day, but sustains their life for eternity. See, Jesus is using like food as a metaphor here. He's illustrating a bigger point, right? Is we need something to keep us alive, not just for a few more days. We need something that's going to keep us alive into eternity, forever. And that's what Jesus is teaching this crowd. There's something better than a free feed. So work for, seek out the thing that is going to sustain your life for eternity. That's what Jesus is teaching this crowd. And it seems like the crowd understands him, at least at first. They ask him, "Well, what is this work we've got to do?" And this is Jesus' answer, verse 29. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." That's how we get this enduring food. That's how we get this eternal life. It's by believing in the one that God has sent. And the crowd seemed to realize fairly quickly that Jesus is talking about himself, that he is the one God has sent. He's the one that we need to believe in. He's the way to life. The crowd understand that Jesus is talking about himself, and so they ask him this question. Verse 30, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do?" You know, they're asking Jesus, they're pressing him, "Why should we believe in you, Jesus? Like, show us some proof. Show us the evidence." Which kind of sounds like a good instinct, right? That's what you want. But if you think about it, Jesus has already done this. Just the day before. Just yesterday, they saw him do it. They saw the sign. They ate their fill of bread and fish. What more do they need to see? But in the next verse, we understand what the crowd is really all about. And surprise, surprise, they're in this for, well, more food. They want another free feed. So verse 31, the crowd says, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." See, they're reminding Jesus of the time of the Exodus. You know, back then, God gave our ancestors food, but he didn't do it just once, Jesus. He did it again and again and again for 40 years. And of course, the inference is that they're kind of saying, you know, come on, Jesus. You need to up your game. You've done it once. Keep going now. And so just when we thought the crowd were on the right track, we're back to the idea again of them just wanting a free feed. So can I just take a moment or two to make a quick aside from the passage? Because the crowd here is slow to understand Jesus, right? They're slow to get on board with his saying. They don't understand him. But notice here the patience of Jesus. I mean, what could Jesus do at this? I mean, he could throw up his hand and say, oh, this is too hard, and just walk away. He could slap around the head and say, come on, stupid, get with the program. But no, he doesn't do that, does he? He's very patient. He keeps going on. He keeps explaining things to them. He works with them. And I love this. Let me tell you why I love this. Because so often that's me too, right? I need Jesus to be patient with me because I feel like so often I'm slow to understand things too. I'm slow to see what Jesus means. I'm slow to see what he's doing in front of me. And Jesus is patient with me. We need Jesus to be like this, don't we? Don't you just love his patience? And so Jesus, because he's patient, he keeps engaging with this crowd. And he says, back then, back at the time of the Exodus, when Moses was the leader, he said, actually, those people, they didn't actually get real bread from heaven. They didn't get bread from God at all. Look at what he says in verse 32. Jesus says to the crowd, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, the people back then at the time of the Exodus, when they had the manna coming down from heaven, they did eat something. But Jesus is saying there's something better you can get from God. God gives bread not just to one group, one nation of people at one time in history, not just to the Israelites at the Exodus. God gives his bread from heaven to all people, to the world. And this bread, Jesus says, gives true life. You see again Jesus' patience here. He's taking the time, telling them, explaining to them. And through them, he's actually explaining to us still today. We need the bread that brings true life. We today still need Jesus. So the crowd respond to Jesus in verse 34. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. You think, well, maybe again, it's a moment of clarity here. Maybe they finally understand Jesus. Or maybe they're just saying, you know, whatever you want to call this bread, Jesus, just give it to us because we want some food. And so Jesus comes out and says the big thing. Jesus wants to be as obvious and as plain as he can for the people. And so you hear in verse 35, Jesus say, what you need is me. And look at this. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See what Jesus is saying here? I'm the one who does this. I'll feed you so you don't go hungry. I'll give you water so that you won't be thirsty. I'll sustain your life forever. I'm what you need. Last weekend, my wife Pip and I had our 11th wedding anniversary. Thank you very much. Yes, you're politely clapping for Pip, I'm sure, here, because she's put up with me for 11 years. No, but we went out for dinner. We went up to this little pub called the Fox and Firk. It's an English-style pub in Tea Tree Gully. And both of us love the food there. Totally recommend it. But I've got a warning for you here. The meals, they're very large. But to make matters worse, they're also delicious. So you kind of want to eat the whole thing. And you still want to have dessert afterwards. And so last Saturday night, I came home very full. I was so full that I didn't really eat breakfast the next day, and I didn't really need lunch afterwards either. But here's the thing. No matter how much I ate, no matter how full I was at the end of it, that meal was only going to sustain me for a short while, right? A day or two. Jesus here is saying something of a completely different magnitude. He's not saying, I'm going to make sure you have food on your table every night. He's not saying, if you stick with me, I'll make sure physical hunger never comes your way. Jesus here is talking about spiritual reality, spiritual truth. He's saying, I am the bread of life. I'll sustain you. I will give you eternal life. And notice what he says. He says, I'll do this no matter who you are. It's whoever comes to me. Which makes you wonder, right? Why don't this crowd believe? Why don't they start believing in Jesus? Because we've seen what he did, haven't we? They've seen what he did. They've seen him the day before when he gave them did the food miracle, gave them the bread and the fish. So, you know, they've seen it right before their eyes. Why don't they believe? That's the question that should be rolling through our minds at this point. But Jesus, he points this out to the crowd in verse 36. He says, but as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. They don't believe Jesus. And then Jesus goes on to tell them why they don't believe him. He says to the crowd, it's not actually a matter of what you've seen or what you haven't seen. It's not actually a matter for you of having the right evidence or not. You don't believe. You're not going to come to me because God hasn't given you to me. Take a look at what he says in verse 37. Jesus speaks to the crowd and he says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. Now, let's just follow along with what Jesus is saying here for a moment. He's saying that God, the Father, God, he gives people to Jesus. People who will believe in Jesus, who belong to him, who will live for Jesus. And Jesus, he won't drive those people away because he's come to do God's will. And God's will is for Jesus to lose none of them. That's why Jesus is going to keep all who are his. All that God gives him, so that he will raise them up on that last day. He will give them eternal life. The Bible here is talking about something that the theologians and the scholars and the academics, they call this predestination. I don't have time to say everything there is about predestination, but it's something you're going to see in lots of the Bible. And it's the idea here that we see here. It's the idea that the problem with the crowd is not that they needed Jesus to do more, to show them more so they could be convinced. And the problem with us today is it's not that we missed out on living back then when Jesus was around to see him. It's not that we need Jesus to come down here in front of us to show himself to us. It's not that we need more evidence or better evidence so we would believe. No, no, no. Jesus is saying our problem is a spiritual problem. The problem is we don't want to believe. Left to our own, we just don't want to follow Jesus, and so we don't. And this is a problem that is only overcome when God does a work in our lives. Because I'm a rebel, right? I won't believe in Jesus no matter what evidence I see. What I need is for God to come down and do a work in me. Because if he didn't do that, well, I wouldn't be here today. You see, believers are not better than anyone else, not different to anyone else. We're not better, not smarter. We're not more spiritual people and we've figured it out. No, we're just the same as everyone.
The only difference is that God himself has stepped in and done a work in our lives. That's the difference. The work of God in our lives to bring us to believe in Jesus. Which might make you want to ask then, well, what could I do if I'm not a believer? I can't make God give me to Jesus, so what do I do? Which is why the next verse is so important. Have a look at verse 40 with me. Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Do you see what to do here? You look to Jesus. You believe in him. Trust that he is the bread of life. Trust that he is the one who can sustain your life into eternity. And that, do you notice how this works, right? God is in control here. And yet each of us are also responsible for what we do, for the decisions we make. These two things aren't opposed to each other. They fit together. God's control doesn't stop me being responsible. And me being responsible doesn't stop God being in control. And I think I'm not sure how that works together. But God is bigger than I understand. And so what do? Then I do the responsible thing. I look to Jesus. And I believe in him that he can sustain my life into eternity. Before I go off too long on that bit of a side tangent, I thought it'd be helpful for me to summarize actually what have we seen so far in John chapter 6. We've seen Jesus saying that he is the bread of life. He is the one we need. He is the one who can ultimately satisfy us and fill us. That doesn't come from money or power or sex or comfort or fun or family. That comes from Jesus. Jesus is saying that he is what we need. He is the one we need to give us life. Because as good as these things are, true life doesn't come from good, clean living, from healthy eating and from exercise, from great health care and advances in science and medicine. No, true life comes in Jesus. And Jesus is saying that he is the one who can give us life into eternity. This doesn't come from Allah or Buddha, doesn't come from following the Ten Commandments or Krishna or Muhammad, because eternal life only comes from the bread of heaven, the bread of life, Jesus. That's the big thing we need to see from this passage. And so I just want to cover the rest of the passage quickly, because really what it is just the crowd grumbling about Jesus a couple of times. First, the crowd grumbles and says, you know, this guy, he says he comes from heaven, but he can't. We know his family. We know the people. He's just like us. So Jesus responds by saying, this is the problem I was talking about before. It's a spiritual problem. You've seen the things I've done. You just don't want to believe. But I am the bread of life, so you need to feed on me. And so the crowd grumbles again. They say, what, this is craziness. He wants us to eat him now? Like, what are we supposed to be? Cannibals or zombies or blood-sucking vampires? No. And so Jesus responds and he says, no, you really do need to feed on me. Now, he's not talking physically that we need to have a bite of his arm or something, because he's been talking in a metaphor. He's been using an illustration all along. But the key here is that life is in Jesus. We need to partake of him. We need to believe in him. That's what gives us life forever. And so again, that's the point where it ends, is this, that Jesus is the one we need. Jesus and Jesus alone is the one who can satisfy us, who can fill us, who can give us life now and into eternity, because he is the bread of life. So let me offer then just a couple of implications. What does this mean for us? Firstly, I want to say, if you're here today and you're not someone who calls yourself a believer, you might even like some things about Jesus, but you just haven't gone all the way with him yet. If that's you, I wanted to invite you today to partake in Jesus, to to start believing in him. Let me explain what I mean. My wife and I, we've been watching a show called Alone. I've mentioned this a couple of times to you. In Alone, people have to go to some kind of crazy place in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. They're all alone, and the person who can survive the longest wins some money. We just watched a season where there's this one guy, right, who did really good at fishing, and he thought, what I need to do is I need to smoke the fish to preserve it, because then I can ration it out, it will last a lot longer, and then I'll be able to stay here. But what he did was basically he didn't eat the food that was there in front of him until he got so unhealthy they had to go and medically evacuate him out so that he could get better. He had the food in front of him, he just wasn't eating, he just wasn't taking it. Don't do that with Jesus, friends. He is the bread of life. He's the thing that gives us enduring life, and he's right there in front of you. So won't you partake of him today? Won't you believe in him today? In a few minutes, we're actually going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You might have seen churches do this before, maybe even on a TV or in the movies. So we take the bread and the wine, or in our case, the juice. Really, the Lord's Supper is about remembering Jesus dying and rising for us. It's not that the bread literally is his body or becomes his flesh. It's not that the juice becomes his blood. But these are like symbols to us, reminding us of what Jesus has done. And reminding us that as we partake, as we eat of these things and drink of these things, that reminds us that Jesus is the thing that gives us life into eternity. Do you want this for you? Is today the day that you want to start believing in Jesus? Because if it is, then I want to invite you to take some bread and some juice when it comes around. Do this for the first time with us today. And if you do, let me ask you, won't you tell someone afterwards that you've done this? Come and talk to me if you want. Talk to the friend that you've come with. Talk to someone around you. We'd love to pray with you as you start your life believing in Jesus. What about if you're here, though, and you are already a believer? What are the implications for us here? Well, after Jesus had taught these things, you know, people got offended at him. Look at what's said in verse 60. On hearing it, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? You know, this isn't acceptable to us." These are people that had followed Jesus for a while. They're called his disciples. They're not the 12 disciples that we tend to know a bit better, but they're others who have been following Jesus from quite an early time. And they find Jesus' teaching hard. In fact, they find it so hard in verse 66. Well, have a look. It says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." That's their response to hearing Jesus say some pretty hard things. See, today what we're hearing is hard stuff. It's heavy stuff. Jesus is saying some serious things about us as people. He's saying that as much as we might try and even sometimes fool ourselves, we are not spiritual people. That in and of ourselves, we just don't want to accept Jesus or believe in him. That we can't make ourselves change out of this either. We need a work of God in us. That's pretty heavy stuff. We've also heard Jesus say some serious things about himself too. That he is the only way, that he and he alone can give us life, and that there is therefore no hope for those outside of Jesus. This is some pretty heavy stuff, right? Serious things. What do we do with this? What do we do when we come across these teachings of Jesus that are hard and even offensive that we might find hard to accept? Do we do what the crowds did and give up on Jesus too? Or do we say what Peter says? Have a look at verse 67 with me. Jesus asks the 12, "Do you not want to leave too?" And Simon Peter answers him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Isn't that beautiful? Where else have we to go? Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life. I say, let's be like Peter. Let's make that our confession. That Jesus is the bread of life for us. That he has the words of eternal life. See, when it's hard or tricky, even when at first we might find it hard to accept, it's be those who stick with Jesus, who work hard, yes, to understand what he says, but who stick with Jesus, the bread of life. Let me pray for us. Our Lord and God, as we hear Jesus say some pretty hard things, some heavy things today, help us not be like this crowd who heard his teaching and who wandered away. Help us instead to look to Jesus as the bread of life and to accept him, to believe in him. Father, we know that we can't do this on ourselves. We need you to do a work in us. So we pray that you would. Help us not just believe Jesus, but keep believing in Jesus. We so long for and look forward to the day when he will raise us up to be with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.